hopefully will be your space unicorns tonight. This, of course, the Film Drunk Broadcast, live from the Frot Quarters in San Francisco. This, your ear rapist Ben, the whole crew in the house, plus a special guest tonight, blogger extraordinaire Vince.
Hey.
That's Vince. It's NFL, future NFL Hall of Famer Brendan's in the house.
Yeah.
And Squirrel Master, DJ Squirrel Master Brett's in the house.
Hello, friends.
Friends, say hello back.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm your friend.
Tonight we're going to have writer Spencer Hall on, who is Brendan's favorite writer.
I think he's better than Vince.
Well, you say that to yourself to get yourself fired up in the mirror every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You guys want to hear? You guys want to hear what Brendan sounds like?
What?
So imagine he's coaching high school football, if you will. You imagining?
Yeah.
Got it in my head.
He's got his hands on his knees. Hey, yeah, now listen here, guys. You know, I know that I promised that we were going to do drills today, but instead, we're all going to go visit the tiny house I built inside my urethra for me and Spencer Hall to live in after we are married inside of my pee hole.
You do say that.
I say that all the time.
And then all the little football players would go, and they'd hit the sleds in your pee hole.
Yep.
Not a day goes by.
The end.
Dago.
Everyone lives happily.
You know, that's how Dago, that's the origin of Dago. It's because they got paid as the Dago.
Really?
Yeah, that's true.
I just thought they dropped the L from Dago.
What? Why would that?
Because Italians love the party.
Okay.
The
end.
Tonight we also, Vince, I don't know what inspired you to do Paul Blart Gangster specifically.
Oh, well, because I saw Here Comes the Boom last week.
But what made that into a gangster?
Oh, why the gangster specifically?
Yes.
I don't know. I think we just hadn't done it. We've done sci-fi. We've done Western. I forget what else we've done. We hadn't done gangster. It seemed like undiscovered territory.
It was time.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just curious.
For those of you not familiar with Paul Blart Presents, what we do is we take a movie and we turn
movie it, category.
The category.
The genre.
And we turn it into a Paul Blart vehicle. And as you all know, Paul Blart movies. Very flatulence heavy, usually.
Paul Blart is Kevin James' character from... I don't know if he's still
no,
doing
No, Kevin them. James is a Paul Blart character. It's like Masterpiece Theater presents Downton Abbey. It's
Masterpiece like Paul Blart Theater?
Yeah.
What's... I didn't know Masterpiece.
Masterpiece Theater presents. Yeah. Make him say...
Yeah, Masterpiece actually finances all of Paul Blart Presents. It's like... It's like Reese's presents Masterpiece Theater presents Downton Abbey. It's sort of like that. It's like Masterpiece
co-produced
presents Paul Blart Presents, you know, starring Kevin James.
I was definitely trying to make up a KFC joke about a Masterpiece bucket, but I'm just not going to do that because...
That's a good idea.
There's nothing there.
It's a really good idea.
Well, Vince put the call out, and we never get as many emails as we do for football. Seriously. You know, normally we'll get a handful of emails. Vince put the call out, and we have probably a couple dozen emails just from today.
It's not even close.
Yes.
I mean, it's not even the same universe.
We'll get more emails for a Paul Blart thing than we do in several weeks prior.
Right.
I think if I had cancer and I asked for donations, I would probably get less.
You just have to make it as some sort of Paul Blart presents a donation for Vince's
like
cancer.
Like a Paul Blartathon. Like if I had cancer, we could do like a Paul Blartathon for every pitch is like a dollar.
Yeah, we do a Kickstarter, except it's reverse. It's like for every dollar you bid, you have to do a more in-depth Paul Blart
That's
pitch.
Right. Yeah, you get more out of
and
it.
And then the big one is like you donate $5,000 to Vince and you have to do a full script.
Would you be able to do a full Paul Blart script? Or
ooh, I don't know.
Would you let the cancer win at some point?
Halfway through, it's like a 20-minute movie.
Yeah, just he couldn't go on.
God, I wish you guys had seen Here Comes the Boom with me. It's kind of like that, where it's like you think it's like half written. It's like it's sort of just a plot outline that's not even a real movie. They're just like, oh yeah, I guess he has to save the rec center, and there's a little girl and.
Well, do you want to talk about that now? I would like to hear a little bit about it. Or when do you want to bring Spencer on?
We should do that now.
Okay. Well, before we do that, just wanted to remind everyone
he's in another town. You know,
he's not in our town.
No,
son of a biscuit. The Kickstarter project's still live. It's November 3rd and 4th in Chicago. Thanks to everyone for pledging and helping out so far. We're looking forward to seeing anyone that can make it. And Brett even brought me the image of the T-shirt. Yeah. So we'll get that online this week as well. So those of you that have already bought the T-shirt can see what you get.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
It'll be glorious.
Also presented by Tall Tale Productions.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Ben. Brett.
Hey. What's the shirt going to be?
It's a designed by Real Brett.
What's it going to be? I mean, I got a couple of shirt designs in my...
If you could design a shirt, what would it be?
It'd probably be like a northern crested squirrel. I think that's probably like the most aesthetically pleasing of the squirrels, you know?
Would you put it in maybe a snappy 17th century coat?
Oh, no, I don't do that. I try
that's the first time he's ever said no.
I try to keep the squirrels in their natural habitat, you know? I think it's unfair to the squirrels, you know. You paint hats on them or sunglasses or anything. It's kind of ridiculous, you know. It's a squirrel, the way it is the best that a squirrel can be. And as soon as you start adding to it, you're really taking away from it. You know what I mean?
We do know what you mean. So anytime if you put anything on it, it's really just detracting from probably God's best creature, right?
Yeah, sure. You know, it's like you got a good... You know, you got a good taste in food, and then you start trying to put some filler in there, and you know, nobody wants that, you know?
I wouldn't like the filler.
No.
Yeah, so Brett did a sweet squirrel design for the shirts. We'll get that online so you guys can see what it looks like.
It isn't a snazzy 17th century coat, much to fake Brett's dismay.
Yeah, well, that's real Brett and fake Brett, you know, clearly right, not the same.
Not seeing eye to eye.
Yeah. Despite looking.
On squirrel depiction.
Squirrel art. All right. Well, again,
I'm from the naturalist school. You know, we don't like to gild the lily, as they say. You know, and some people it's not in their nature, and we have to agree to disagree.
Okay. Well, I'm glad it didn't come to blows. Maybe someday you guys should have a paint off.
Sure. I've done that. I've been involved in plenty of paint offs.
Do you usually fare pretty well in those?
Oh, well, there's no winner. Everybody's a winner when you're painting squirrels. I have a few participation trophies, and, you know, that's all that you can hope for.
That's all you can hope for is a participation trophy.
Well, I was honored just to be involved.
All right, well, I don't know where to go with this one, fake Brett.
You know, it's like the Olympic athletes, they don't get paid because it's the gold medal just represent your country is payment enough. You know, it's kind of like that with drawing squirrels.
So, who do you feel like you're representing? Just the squirrel community?
Oh yeah, sure. Just the wildlife of Mother Nature, things like that.
It's like the Olympics, but everyone's on the same team and no one wins and no one gets paid.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, sure.
All right. Well.
Hey, you guys, I got to take off now. It's been real nice. I got to go. Got to go prepare for Squirrel Fest.
Is that coming up?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's going to be down in Missouri, down at the Elks Lodge. And this is going to be really good. I'm hosting a panel on tail depiction.
Great. That sounds amazing.
It should be great.
All right, well... Enjoy. There's probably a lot of planning involved.
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, Squirrel Fest is actually 6 months from now, but now is 6 months ahead of time is about the time you got to start preparing.
That's what you always say. 6 months is the best time to start.
Would not want the hotels near the Elks Lodge to fill up.
No. They get over 50% capacity.
We have some crazy parties. You know, it gets a little rambunctious down at the Elks Lodge. I don't need to tell you.
You don't need to tell us. Well, fake Brett, thanks for stopping by.
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right. Well, let's get we'll get Spencer on, and Brendan can tell him how much better of a writer he is than Vince. Would you say he's far superior? Or just
absolutely.
Yeah.
We haven't prepped him at all because we don't do that.
Good evening.
Hello.
He sounds pretty prepped. You sound professional.
That would be an illusion. I managed to think of one concept, so
Oh, concept.
That's one more than all of us combined.
Wow, you're so far ahead of the game.
What the fuck is a concept?
Oh, it's a franchise.
Oh, that's good. Well, Brendan was just telling us how much better he likes you than me.
Sweet.
Oh, now he's bashful. He can't say anything.
No, I think
Brendan's really nervous.
I think I brought up something you wrote on two separate broadcasts.
It was six. It was
at least
six.
Vince got all up in arms. You'll talk about Spencer.
I didn't get up in arms. You said the same quote like six times.
You did slam your glitter binder shut and walk out of the classroom.
He did.
Binder is a hot topic tonight.
We
could be political.
Oh no.
It's fun to watch Twitter and see everyone stumbling over themselves to try and make the joke first.
Right. Man, binder!
It said binder. Just send the word.
Did anyone make a trapper? Trapper
keeper
joke?
I'm gonna start doing that. I'm just gonna send like the word, like the root of the joke. I'll just spoil it. It'll be the ultimate anti joke.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Just one word.
Binder.
Yeah.
Did anyone say trapper keeper yet? There's probably a joke in there.
Somebody, Jason, my co-host on Shutdown Fullback and editor of the college football side, he's just decided to start tweeting 2 million pizzas anytime anything happens in the NFL because of that awful Papa John's commercial. Yeah. So anytime anything really stupid or fucked up in the NFL happens, he just tweets pizzas. Out 2 million pizzas.
I like that because I think he tweeted that out when Peyton Manning tried to make that horrible tackle last night.
Yeah, the number keeps getting bigger. He's like 2 billion pizzas.
All right, we should give Spencer an intro before we get too deep.
Proceed.
All right, so every day should be Saturday. How long have you been running that?
Since 2005.
All right.
Wow, that's like before the internet even was a thing.
I know. That was when we were all on Usenet.
It was a zine.
It was a zine with like siren graphics.
What do you do? I've run a cyber zine.
It's a digital e-zine. What does blog stand for? Since you guys are all professionals.
Weblog.
Oh.
Yeah. And then on, you do SB Nation video shutdown.
I'm technically the editorial director of SB Nation.
Holy shit. All right, sorry.
You are a better writer and more important than Vince.
No, I just didn't want to get the title wrong.
This is all part of my evil plot to turn Vince into a sports writer.
I like writing about sports, but I feel like sports writing is so insular and so like far. Like I try to read some sports stuff, and it's like I can't even figure out what the hell they're talking about. Even when it's about sports that I watch, because it'll be like about commentators talking about. It's like three levels deep, you know. I feel like I'm in the snow level.
Yeah, that's why you need to write. It's because that's what happens. People start writing about it and they get three levels deep and nobody understands it. You need somebody who's like, yeah, I like the part where he called the other guy fag. You know, like that's what sports writing is lacking, is more awareness of, you know, obvious homophobic slurs.
You should cover soccer, European soccer, because a lot of that.
Yeah, like
there's the racism there is magnifique. It's astonishing.
What was the Serbia thing that happened today?
Oh, there was some in Wikipedia. Someone had changed the entry that there was some team name.
Oh, it was a Middle Eastern team.
Middle Eastern team that was the Sand Monkeys. And they put it in the news, their own news story, like the so and so Sand Monkeys. They were not happy.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and their real name is The White.
The White?
Yeah, The White.
Not plural?
No, just The White. Like their long flowing robes.
I'm a huge fan of sport, and I just feel like a lot of the writing across most stuff is overanalyzing stupid tiny little things.
Well, there's so many tropes, right? Because you know, most athletes are now media savvy enough to just say stuff without saying it. There's lots of it is what it is, and there's all those sort of cliches. So it doesn't give the writers anything to write about. And God forbid anyone actually tries to be themselves, because if someone tries to be quirky or funny or whatever, and then something bad happens, they're a distraction to the team. And all the sports writers get all up in arms. It's just like – it's like these two strange – it's a strangely symbiotic relationship. But so then like the sports writers have to go off all this stupid shit where they say stuff like, well, look at their body language. And they have to look at the body language because those people won't fucking talk to the sports writers because they think they're idiots. You know what I mean? So they have all these tropes that they always go after. And it's kind of funny the way the – I mean it gets covered by – a lot of the folks that we read online, but just the casual racism that's involved is pretty funny, where any white guy who plays a skill position is blue collar and, you know, deceptively fast and crafty and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Always works a little bit harder.
Yeah. Yeah. Hard worker.
Yeah. That, or that was why we founded the Caucasian Wide Receivers Appreciation Society. It's like men's rights. Like, right. We're just convinced that there should be a place for the slow, but very hard working white man. Wide receivers. There's also this, which is now you're discovering that sports writers actually have never interacted with people before. Because I came up as a writer, you know, who wrote about sports on the internet, where if you like the third comment on anything when you had no waiting period on your blog was always like, "You're gay. I hope you die.
Yeah.
Fuck your ass." Right? Like that was always the third comment, right? And you know, as like a sincere person interacting with the internet the first time, you know, you're like, well, what do you mean by that? What I seek to understand that. And now after like, you know, 8 years of this, you know, like now you see that and you're like, that's not the third comment. That's unusual. Wow. That's like the seventh comment. This must have been a very different article. But sports writers have never had that. And they've never had like a paper doesn't have a comment section. So you have someone like Mike Wilbon, who's been working in like Dead Tree so long that when he has somebody actually, you know, confront him, right? Like online writers, you know this if you blog, online writers are confronted every fucking day. And you just don't get that outraged by it. In fact, you don't even respond. Like, you know, I generally look at comments and just think, okay, well, that's a person I should never interact with. Ever.
Yeah.
That person's not doing the same thing or speaking the same language or engaging in the same exchange of anything, right? Like that's – that person is literally just, you know, like a bear rummaging through the woods. I should just let them pass.
Yeah.
Because I can talk to him all day long and all he really wants to do is break into my cooler and drink my beer. That's fine, right? But like you see Wilbon got into an argument with Dan Steinberg of like the DC sports blog.
That was
the
insane.
It went like an adolescent, right? Like somebody who's never actually had to argue or be insulted, right? Like it was like watching a comic who's never gone on stage and been like thoroughly heckled before, right? It was kind of like watching that guy. There's an old internet clip of a guy like smashing a guitar over a heckler's head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's seen that. It was just like that. It was like, and now I can't handle this.
What exactly? I didn't see the interaction. What exactly happened?
I mean, he just went nuclear. I mean, it was
Wilbon did.
Yeah,
I don't know Spencer. You probably know the backstory better than I do, but it was just basically they got in some Twitter online tiff, and Wilbon was just basically like crying and then saying like Wilbon is much more important than the other guy. Basically, like no one cares about what you say.
Well, it started when Wilbon wrote a column that said DC was about sports town, right?
Right, right.
Oh,
like
that's
first,
right.
It started with like the most like the hoariest, clichéest argument ever. Like the notion of a good or a bad sports town.
That's like my favorite. Like this, every jumping off point on ESPN or anything like that is like this stupid, semantic, idiotic, fucking, completely amorphous, half-assed idea that it's two people can argue about. It's like, oh, it's a bad sports town. Like, what
who's
the
more?
Fuck, does that even mean?
Who's more now?
Yeah, what the fuck?
That was my favorite ESPN bit ever.
That was better than ESPN Hollywood.
Right. Who's more now? Who is more exactly at this moment? But anyway, this argument devolved into Wilbon, of course. Like, and this to me says like everything you need to know about where this person's brain is. Wilbon went straight to Facebook. And in this tiff over, like, what is a good or a bad sports town? Like, whatever the fuck that means. Like, one of the basic premises of EDSBS is the place you're from sucks, right? Like, that's,
yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, no, my town's better. No, your town sucks. Something about it, like, seriously sucks and is indicative of the horror that is the human condition, okay? you know, like even San Francisco, right? Like San Francisco's fucking perfect and it's still horrible, right?
I'm sure we could name 1,000 reasons why it sucks.
Yeah.
Sure. Exactly. And like even the notion that like you have nothing to complain about means it sucks because it means it's just all rich people, right? Like all the really great places, rich people find them and buy everything. And like that's, you know, if you know about a place being awesome, like, yeah, I've heard that place is awesome, it probably sucks because you can't afford it, right?
It's full of homos.
Yeah, it's even better. It's full of delicious homos. You know, and that's before you get to discussing some place that's actually genuinely horrible like Miami. But anyway, he went online and just went to like Facebook and was like, you know, I went to Abe Poland's funeral. It wasn't a funeral. It was a memorial service at a basketball gym. Okay. He's like, I went to Abe Poland's funeral and like Dan Steinberg, he was dressed, you know, like a slob, like a slovenly low dead, you know, slovenly low, not even a columnist blogger slob. And I was in my finery paying respects to the burghers of Washington, D.C. before attending a charity golf tournament and basking in the glow of Magic Johnson's HIV positive glory, right? Like that was basically like this long, insane rant that he went on that he later apologized for. But like, dude, that's out there. That's, yeah. You're like, yeah, you apologize for it, but that's where you are.
Who is the guy? Who is the other guy that writes about basketball that tweeted out the Onion article the other day and was like getting all mad about it? Oh yeah, Stephen A. Smith. That's it. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
he sucks too. Especially Wilbon came off to me as it's like you need to go onto Real Sports right away. They are waiting for you and Bernie.
Oh yeah,
you and Bernie Goldberg can just be so smarmy. And
you have no legs. I know. It's something I deal with.
Wait, so you're telling me?
You're telling me. What if someone says to you, "Hey, no legs. You loser. You stupid loser." Hey, you stupid loser without any legs. How you ever expect to do gymnastics? Fucking idiot. What do you say to those people?
If someone came up to you and said, you're the biggest piece of shit, no-legged motherfucker I've ever seen, which people probably do. People might say you're a...
Because people might say this.
Yeah.
Could you relive the horror of someone saying that to you for me now?
All right, you say it to me as if I don't have legs. But look, watch me walk around. Watch this.
All right, in writing about college football, this is my biggest question. Everybody seems to have, like, you know, their blood feuds that are already well established. Like, how do you write about it with what is your affiliation and how do people immediately just like shit on your point for being affiliated with whatever school?
Yeah, this is one of those, it's like if you've anyone who's been on the internet for longer than like 3 years suddenly gets this. Do you guys get this horrible map in your head where you understand exactly like a circuit board lighting up exactly what the argument is and where the rhetoric goes and where this argument ends, right?
Yes.
Right. Yes. Like how far you go down that tunnel, right? Like if somebody gives you an interesting joke, you're like, oh, well, I don't have a map for that. But all of a sudden, like I can take somebody who's just a random commenter on the blog for the first time, and I can plot whether they've, you know, come down the tarred highway, right? Whether they're using the internet for, like, 2002 purposes, right?
Yeah.
Like, 9/11 was faked, and you're a Florida fan, and that's why you think that, right? Like, that's – you can kind of – okay, we're not having anything to do with you. But, yeah, a lot of times that'll happen. But, you know, we manage to, like – hopefully what you do in college football is, one, you can sort of embrace the evil. Like, I don't think the NFL has any irony at all whatsoever. Like, that's just not a part of the NFL model. There's no irony, and there's no regional, like, weirdness mm-hmm. or the smallness that makes things sort of adorable and pathetic at the same time. Like, take, for instance, Ole Miss had a really bad spell of football forever. Years ago, and I'm like, no, they've been shit forever.
Yeah, pretty much forever.
Yeah, they have, like, one 10-win season every, like, 15 years, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, football Jesus remembers, oh, that's Mississippi, and just blights it for the next 10 years, right? And like, oh yeah, they blew up black people. We should just totally destroy this place. That's terrible because Alabama is good every single year, and they actually blew people up. One thing I always remember, like, Roll Tide, fuckers blew people up in the 60s. So. Anyway, like Ole Miss had this horrible, horrible year under Ed Orgeron, and they were going to have a they were going to have this like massive, insane fireworks display, and then the game was moved to the day because it wasn't picked up for TV because they were so awful. So they just set off the fireworks in the middle of the day.
Uh-oh.
Did we lose him?
Oh, can you hear me?
Now you came back. Sorry.
We lost you with they set him off in the middle of the day.
Yeah, you said they set him off in the middle of the day. We laughed, and then we didn't hear anything else.
Okay, well, they set him off in the middle of the day, and then they biplane over. Like, that was their flyover, was a biplane. Like, some dude was like, I got a biplane. I can fly that over since we get an F-22 to, like, roar over the stadium. So, like, poor Ole Miss has, like, fireworks going off in the middle of the day. Their coach got get fired, and then some dude, like,
So, not to mention, Ed Orgeron is this insane Cajun man who is quite close to non-understandable in normal conversation.
Yeah, and he's like this big terrifying dude who is from like Houma, Louisiana, and typically like gets like the first thing he does is he gets everyone to take off their shirts and start yelling like. Wild Boys.
They say Wild Boys. So one of his special teams coordinators was the special teams coordinator when I was in college. And my very first meeting was a special teams meeting. And I had no idea what was going on. And the coach runs in. He's actually at USC. He's a running backs coach at USC now. Runs in and he starts yelling Wild Boys. And everyone just starts going apeshit. And I almost got brained with a desk. Like, and it was like one of the most terrifying moments of my life. I was like 18 and had just arrived at college. And this was like my initiation.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, it was terrifying. And then
Wild Boys.
Yeah, they changed it to Wild Bunch for whatever reason. It was Wild Bunch, but yeah,
Title IX probably.
Yeah, it was horrifying. So this new kid started my office, and I found out that he played football at Ole Miss. So I asked him, you know, when'd you play? And he said, oh yeah, Coach O recruited me. And I immediately was like, let's grab a conference room. We need to talk about this. And so tried to like fleece him for all the information. He has some good stories. He definitely confirmed. Well, we shared the story about the Wild Boys thing, and he did that too. But he also confirmed the story that I'd heard where at the end, once everyone kind of is all excited and slapping each other and all happy because they just had this weird tribal, you know, Lord of the Flies moment with their shirts off, he just challenges someone to take a run at him, which is kind of funny. It's like dare someone to fight him.
He figures prominently in The Blind Side. I don't, you know, the movie barely mentions him, but he is definitely like a very large part of that whole story.
Yeah, and he's also in, there's a great book around that time written called Meat Market.
Oh yeah, Feldman's book, yeah.
Yeah, this got a lot of those kind of funny stories. The other thing that he told me that I thought was funny was he has a silver chain with a cross on it. It's not gaudy by any means. It's pretty stripped down, and his grandmother gave it to him, you know, a year or two before she died or something like that. And so he gets up to introduce himself, and he says, Coach O, you know, in front of the whole team at a team meeting when he's a freshman, and Coach O goes, whoa, 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 what's that? You know, and he goes, oh, this is a chain. My grandma gave it to me. And he goes, look like a $2 chain. You better have it off. Told him to take off his chains. Nice. Yeah. And you don't get coaches like that. Ed Orgeron could never coach in the NFL. Going back to why you think college football is so great and all that kind of stuff, because not only do you have to have the football coaching acumen to be in the NFL, it's so much more corporate where you have to be polished. You have to be able to talk to the media. And yeah, you have to have those skills to a certain extent to be a coach in Division I football, but I mean, I don't know. Can you imagine Les Miles or, you know, Steve Spurrier? I guess Steve Spurrier did coach the NFL.
Well, he tried.
He was terrible. But, you know, the NFL coach was not for the old ball coach.
I'll tell you, though, Ed Orgeron, there's one place Ed Orgeron did coach in the NFL, and that was in New Orleans. And the quote he gave from his very short tenure in New Orleans was, I had too much free time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Just doing good old boy shit?
Yeah, I mean, he's from some bumfuck Cajun town in Louisiana, so I'm sure, you know.
I think this was the deal. I think he was working, he's used to, I mean, if you read Meat Market, that, you know, he'd get into the office at like 5:30 and hop on a treadmill and watch recruiting film.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't go to bed until, you know, what, midnight?
Like
maybe
that.
Most nights, like 11 or midnight. And apparently the NFL day is just a squinch shorter than that. Also, he worked for Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll, seriously, the Pete Carroll stories, if you hear them, they're all true.
Right.
Everything about Pete Carroll, if you watch the way the Seahawks play, like how openly they trolled Tom Brady and the Patriots.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's
I didn't know what that was, where that stemmed from. What did Brady do?
Brady said he was going to turn the 12th man against the crowd, right? That they were going to be booing the Seahawks by the time they were done. Thus, every Seahawks player was, you know, like, yeah, huh? You like that, huh? Like, you mad? Like, leaning, like, on Twitter and after the game, like, yelling at him. And
yeah, there was that one corner that had the perfect you mad pick.
Yeah.
Right? It was right after the game, and, like, his dreadlocks are flying behind his head, and he's just obviously aggressively yelling at Tom Brady, who's just got his head bowed in shame.
Yeah, and Pete Carroll is one of these people who, like John Gruden, biologically, they're okay. They won't die if they get 4 hours of sleep a night.
Right.
Hmm.
3 hours of sleep, like they
hate
just
those
bear.
People.
Yeah, I do too.
I need eight.
But I feel like it's two
it.
Very
yeah.
different biological mechanisms. Like Gruden is all just piss and vinegar, whereas Pete Carroll has willed himself through the power of positivity to not need sleep. You know,
I feel great. You want to play Wii while I call recruits?
Yeah, like, exactly. It's wonderful. Whereas Gruden would be like, "Shit the fuck down, shut the fuck up. We're watching this tape.
That's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna do push up." When he was a GA at Tennessee, like apparently at 3 a.m, his roommate would like wake up and he's just sitting there doing push ups on the floor, just doing push ups. This guy.
The weird thing about Gruden is, like, I always – all right, so I have this thing where I hate these announcer types who are trying to get by on the strength of their catchphrase. Like, they're always trying to sort of make a catchphrase happen. Like, they don't really have anything to say other than they want to be that loud jackass guy. They're trying to recreate Howard Cosell without actually any content. They're just like there's this whole class of announcers that's trying to get by on the strength of making a catchphrase happen. And the weird thing about Gruden is that he started out as a coach, and he fits into like the fucking catchphrase humper of a commentator guy so well.
I call Peyton Manning the sheriff.
Yeah, like, he's got all his pet phrases.
Yeah,
yeah, but you know that, like, out of those, like, if you watch him, that must have been insane showing up when he forgets that he's given you a nickname. You walk in the door, and he's like, "I'm going to call you door opener." Did you? Like that.
Look at Johnny T-shirts over here, always wearing T-shirts.
Look at you, old dick swinger, coming out of the shower with your dick swinging. He did, he's like...
Charlie Shoefoot.
Yeah, Charlie, because you got shoes on your foot. He in Tampa, like, he used to bag on one of their linemen. I think it was Kerry Jenkins, maybe. I might have the name right. But he'd bag on him. He's like, "You should see this guy naked. It's something."
Wow.
So put it like, he's like, "I can't describe his body. It's just the weirdest thing I've ever seen." He would say this to reporters. And like the poor lineman, like, what the hell does he mean by that? And he's like, "Oh, I don't know."
I like his understatement. "This guy is a football player. Yeah. His body is something." It's like, all right.
Every team has at least one guy nicknamed Bad Body.
Yeah, yeah. "I'm going to call you Tater Tits because you're a man, but you got tater tits." Like, this is the guy who, you know, per Deadspin and per Warren Sapp, you know, inspired the Bucks before the NFC Championship game against Philly by saying, "When I get to the Super Bowl, I'm going to need two hotel rooms for all my bitches."
Yeah.
It's like Holly of SI, who, you know, wrote for EDSPS for a long time. She swears he wears tangas. Like, just on the sideline, he's like, "Look at that man. That's a man who wears tangas." And, like, I would totally believe that.
I don't know what that...
What's a tanga?
A tanga cut panty. A tanga cut man panty.
Okay.
I can describe exactly where it lands on the ass. You'll just have to go Google it.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so Spencer,
I might have to pick me up some of them tangas.
How did you, like, tell us about, like, how you got your start? You went to, what, Florida?
I did go to Florida, yeah. And I went to Florida from 1994 to 1998. and I went to, I applied to two schools. I applied to Vanderbilt because I'm from Nashville and was insecure. And then I applied to Florida because I was living there and they were going to pay me money to go. And I got into both, and I ended up going to Florida because I was broke, which was great. That's the best decision I could have ever made, is to go to this like filthy hot place that taught you how horrible the world was. But it was a lot of fun too. And that's kind of where I got baptized in football, because it was like, it's literally the only thing holding the idea of the University of Florida together is football, because Florida is so disparate. It's just this, you know, horrible, rancid bucket full of humanity. And there's really no binding factor other than violence, right? That's it. Like, unification against an other. It's like the basic motto of the state. The only thing that unifies people is, you know, orchestrated violence. And that's what football is. And it just so happened at the time that, like, Florida was a really violent football team. They would just rack up, you know, 40, 50 points a game. And that's still, like, we're a really spoiled fan base for that reason. And then I stupidly did other things for a long time, including working with nonprofits. I worked with refugees in the Atlanta area.
Idiot.
Liked it.
Working with refugees. What were you thinking? Sorry, continue.
It's foolish. I really advise, though, like, if anybody wants to attempt to, you know, write for a living or have a, you know, do something where you make less money. Because that was basically like, you don't make any money. You make enough to live on.
Because that way you don't get spoiled, and then you start writing. You're like, what? I just got to work for free this whole time?
Oh, man, I got to quit my legal job. I got to stop being an engineer and be a blogger.
Yeah, I don't think you can go from real estate to or something like to writing.
Right. I got to quit my job on Wall Street and be a blogger. Oh, this sucks. No.
Wall Street 3, blogging never sleeps.
And that is a great career move if you're going to do it, because I actually made more money blogging. So it's a step up when you finally, you know, get it started. But I was underemployed and I was bored and I'd never really written consistently. Like, I think everyone does this. They sort of like, oh man, I really like reading and I kind of like writing and I think I'm going to write a novel. And then you write like 15 novels and they all suck. Like, you write like the first 5 pages of a novel, right? Like,
yeah. I was like, you didn't finish those, did you? What, are you crazy?
He turns to the left. Oh, this sucks. I hate the way he turns to the left, right? And you just never even get started. But the only thing I could write consistently about for some reason was football. So I just kept writing about it and was really bad at it, but I just kept doing it. And it got out of hand. I just started, I think, at the right time. Like, if somebody asked me today, like, you know, oh, man, how would you start? I'm like, I have no idea. I know how to start in 2005.
Yeah.
That was because there were like 2 people. We all knew each other. Like, if you had a blog, you knew that other guy. You know, that's not the.
I'm not sure people necessarily appreciate how even 5 years ago or, you know, 7 years ago, there was not a lot. I remember I found your site in 2007 because I think I just typed college football blog into Google. And there
Google
was just.
Google was new.
Yeah, I mean, there just wasn't anything. In 2007, I mean, there just weren't a lot of people blogging about college football. It was either you got your news from the local paper or, you know, Sports Illustrated. And that was pretty much it as far as college football went. So now, I mean, there's so many different people writing about college football. But I think at the time when you started, I mean, yeah, there weren't really a lot of people.
And sports is kind of behind generally. Like, that's really like sports is generally the last to pick up on anything. Like, say, safety, medical science, modern marketing, right?
Right.
And it was kind of that way in the blogosphere as well. Like, if you look at the way things worked online, you know, science, film, news, like, even religious blogs were ahead of the curve, right? Like, BeliefNet. BeliefNet was way ahead of the sports curve in terms of content. There was just nobody who was doing anything weird. And therefore, it was pretty easy to stand out. You didn't actually have to be that weird in order to be considered strange.
Yeah. I feel like it's weird to read all the college sports stuff, because I feel like going to UCSD, we totally just missed out on a whole other part of existence that people that went to college in, like, big football schools in the South, like, I mean, we didn't even have a football team, so it was like we didn't even. There's just like this whole
our mascot is basically our library.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, we're literally, technically, we're the Tritons, but all anything on any anything really was. It's, we have that famous library. It was in Inception.
Yeah,
we have the basically the Dr. Seuss library. It looks like a spaceship, and that's like our.
I played basketball against a kid, pick up basketball, who had like this Asian kid who had a tattoo of the library on his shoulder. Swear to God,
not a good tattoo.
Not a good tattoo at all.
What is that? It's my school's library, bro. Yeah.
Looks like a spaceship.
It's an Inception.
It worked to get kicked by that guy, right? Like
this is the Brary.
What did he look like? Well, he had a library tattoo on his shoulder.
Yeah. I can pick him out. All right.
To be fair, it's kind of a cool-looking library.
Go fighting geysers.
Yeah.
Yeah, the library named after Dr. Seuss, by the way.
Yeah.
That's not – there's a lot of reasons that, you know, college football is popular where it is. And in the South's case, it has a lot to do with, you know, an underserved rural population that didn't get professional sports for a lot of reasons, you know, segregation being one of them for a while.
Yeah.
It's one of the weirdest things about being particularly an SEC fan. Like, you know, I just lucked out in that, you know, I managed to root for a really weird team that was like, Florida's kind of on the periphery of that whole SEC Bama Bang frat bro thing. Like there's right. an element of that. And then there's dudes from Miami and then there's, you know, Orlando and Tampa, and just this like weird vortex of like multicultural trash that ends up at Florida, right? And that's a little different. Like that and LSU, two sort of very different things that are kind of on the outside of a lot of like what the core of the SEC is, which is like Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, right? But like I think the reason that like it doesn't catch on the West Coast, like there are some like Oregon's similar because Oregon has a lot of like Oregon's between markets, right? Like yeah. Washington has their NFL market and San Francisco has their very strong NFL market. And Oregon's kind of in between. And Oregon's kind of hillbilly, right?
Yeah, Oregon, like actually San Francisco City, like when Oregon plays, we're just fucking like inundated with obnoxious Florida.
There's a lot of
obnoxious Oregon fans.
A lot of U of O grads in San Francisco.
Because where else are you gonna go, right? It's like Atlanta, like you could go to Portland, but if you're going to go to a big city, like Atlanta picks up. If you go here, like this is one of the reasons now why I've continued to live here is that if you go out on a Saturday, everyone's got their flags out and it's everybody. It's like on my street alone, there's a Florida grad, there's a UT grad, you know, Tennessee grad. There's a down the street, there's another Tennessee grad, a Mississippi State fan and a Georgia fan, and they've all got their flags out, right?
Yeah.
And if I walk in my neighborhood, you can see pretty much like most members of two conferences.
So yes. So here's the thing. I agree with you on pretty much everything you said about why college football is great and kind of some abstract reasons. But I agree with it. But I'll put it to you this way. I grew up about 15 minutes outside San Francisco. My family was 49ers season still is 49ers season ticket holders. Totally grew up in an NFL family, but I have grown to love college football so much more over the years. And for all those reasons that you say, there's just this kind of madcap element to it that the NFL doesn't have. But more pragmatically, I just think that the product on the field is so much better, and coaches are so much less risk averse than NFL coaches.
That'll get you shot, son. Don't tell that. Don't tell Matt Ufford that. But they can't tackle. If
right,
you do that.
Right.
I think it has a lot to do with what happens at the very highest levels of competition, because everyone in the NFL can tackle. That's like one huge, and when somebody says, well, how are the two sports different? I don't want to give like a gassy poetic, like, oh, but the soil of the sod of Alabama, the bones of the people who play the football there.
Also pageantry. No one ever uses the word pageantry outside of describing college football.
Yeah, exactly. Like pageantry in the NFL, you're like, oh, look, it's like a concrete mortuary filled with drunk, like working class and like corporate people.
They wore pink gloves to celebrate breast cancer. Remember there.
Yeah. But like I won't give you the pageantry answer. Like everyone can tackle. And when everyone is that fast and when everyone can tackle, then your variance is going to be a lot lower, right? Yeah. You're not going to have as much variance from your 1 and 2 and 3 yard gains on a run and your like 4 and 5 yard gains on completed passes. That's just not going to happen. It's a lot more. It's an airtight game.
Yeah.
And when it's airtight, you get one, everyone becomes a lot more risk averse because making a mistake is so much more costly. Yeah. And then like literally and figuratively. Right. Mm-hmm. And then two, you know, the game's just not going to move as much. Also, there's no diversity of scheme. Like there, I think there is like an element of corporate risk aversion in what they do. Like most people run the same playbooks. Most people, you know,
well, and when one team does something differently, I mean, look at when the Dolphins ran the Wildcat and how crazy it was. And the reason the sports media ate it up is like the first new thing that anyone had seen on offense in the NFL in 20 years.
And they're all right. Like when one team does one thing, everybody just sort of follows along like it's a smart thing to do.
You're mad about the Wildcat.
Not the Wildcat. I'm mad about the fucking icing the kicker thing. The icing the kicker thing where they fucking call a timeout while the guy's kicking. It's like at that point, you're not icing the kicker. You're giving the kicker a practice shot. Like, how the fuck is that hurting the kicker? Like, no one, if some guy's playing golf, you're not like, oh, dude, I'm going to totally fuck you up by giving you a mulligan on this play. That's what you're doing. It's fucking retarded. And I've seen it like 6 times this season.
I don't know, bro. Right before you hit that golf shot, I said timeout.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I mean, I know you
hit
it.
How is that a good strategy?
Well, it's not.
By the numbers, by the way, I mean, there have been like 2 or 3 sort of informal studies on this. By the numbers, if you ice a kicker, it works better than not icing them.
But icing him in terms of like making him wait or icing him in terms of calling the timeout while he's kicking and then he gets to kick it second time? Like,
as they snap it, basically.
Yeah, as they snap it. It really does, at the margins, fuck with somebody.
I swear I've seen it 3 times where the fucker missed it and then he made it the second time.
And thank Urban Meyer for that. That's an Urban Meyer thing. I think what you see, like in the NFL, the teams people really like usually bust out little incremental things that they lift from college, right? Like college is like the band and circuit. Like, okay, now we're all using voice distorters this year. Okay, cool. Now we've all got theremins. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we're all going to play mandolin this year. Like that comes from college. There's no... At the NFL level, there's just very little innovation because of the money involved and the time involved and what you're doing in terms of, like, if you take a risk, it's going to be so much more scrutinized because generally there's just no tolerance for any kind of creativity whatsoever. None. But if you look at the teams that people really like, right, Harbaugh is actually really innovative.
Wildcap.
To a fault sometimes.
Yeah, it's like a retro kind of innovative because he's like, well, shit, I'll put 3 tight ends on the field.
Yeah.
3 fucking tight ends on
a play. Defensive end, fullback.
Well, and he'll flop it so that, you know, you go tackles right and then 3 tight ends on the other side. You know, balance, shit like that.
This kind of stuff that, like, people kind of got away from and that he exploited by going back to. So, nobody had seen it. And two, he taught it really well and simplified things. Like Alex Smith being a functional NFL quarterback, that's a byproduct of Jim Harbaugh making things really simple.
And he's also got the personnel to be able to run stuff like a play action out of that kind of formation with 3 tight ends on the field and actually have 2 legitimate options with Vernon Davis running a seam route or something like that.
He needs to stop throwing it to fucking Walker.
You know, Delanie Walker, who has wheels.
He's fucking dropped the last six passes.
His hands have not been so hot this season. But, you know, with that kind of personnel, it sort of opens up what you can do as well so that when you run, you know, unbalanced with your tackles right and 3 tight ends, you know, with 1 offset as a wing – you actually can throw it, and they have to respect that.
All right, I got a sports-related story that I wanted to get to before we get into Paul Blart, which is I discovered this weekend that the guy who is my little league and also youth basketball and football coach.
Is that the guy who taught you the wrong way wave and the
different guy, but they were friends.
All right.
They were buddies.
Thycock?
Yeah, that guy. This guy's friend that used to actually coach my little league team and would watch me during the summers and drive me places and stuff was arrested for child molestation.
Oh,
yeah.
I actually have a really similar story.
Really?
In my junior high PE coach, after I had graduated, so our junior high was 7th, 8th grade. He was the dude. He'd been there forever. He coached like the flag football team and the dude's basketball team, and he was the PE coach. When I was in high school, a couple years after, he had gotten he had been arrested for child porn, like having child porn stuff. And this is way before, well, before internet. So you had to have had like discs of this, and they were probably tracked. So yeah, he, I remember like FBI supposedly showed up at our junior high to arrest him.
Well, this was the same, except this guy actually like massaged my legs one time when I was like sore from football practice.
That does feel good, coach.
And so let me read you the story. Sorry, go ahead, Brett.
You see, that's why I wasn't good at sports, for safety.
Oh, sure.
Coach, that actually feels really good. Coach, that feels even better.
A second victim has come forward to accuse a Valley teacher of molestation. Reedley police arrested Schmirmer 2 weeks ago at his home. Schmirmer was a teacher and athletics director in Tulare County. Prosecutors say sexually abused two different boys, both for long periods of time.
One named Vince.
The first one reported abuse. He was like babysat
like over a long period of time or for like 2.5 hours?
The first one reported abuse between 2000 and 2003. And after police arrested the second boy reported abuse that only ended after police arrested the former teacher.
So can you tell us how was his leg massage?
Action News acquired the arrest warrant Reedley police used to take him into custody. It says the male victim claimed hundreds of instances of abuse starting in 2000 when he was a preteen and Schmirmer was in his 30s. Schmirmer taught the boy and his sisters at such and such school. Anyway, yeah.
How was the leg massage?
It was good. I was really sore, and you know,
weren't so sore after. Did you get it? Was it a full release?
No, there was no full release.
Okay.
I never got. He never tried anything on me.
It's because you're ugly.
It's because you had crazy bleached fro.
Could be.
No, you had, that was probably before the Mugatu hair.
But here's the deal. I have a theory. My theory is that like the only real difference between like child molester and youth football coach is self-control.
Wait for it.
Is there?
You got a tag for that?
No, I'm just saying like he might have had the desire. I never, but you know, never did. Hey, if you never do anything,
Vince, just because he didn't like you and he wasn't as attracted to you as your some of your classmates.
I don't know. Should I feel weird about that?
Yeah, you should feel ugly.
Is Spencer what?
Ugly and forlorn and like that you weren't pretty enough to fuck ever.
Oh man, but I was, dude. You guys should have seen me when I was 10.
That was your peak?
Oh, I was so hot when I was 10.
Do you know how many PE teachers wanted to fuck
me? Dude, I was fucking just nubile and svelte and hairless. It was great.
I could have any teacher in the Fresno County area. I don't need you. Yeah, when we heard about our PE
teachers.
But
he didn't get convicted, though, so.
It's allegedly.
Yeah.
He allegedly had hundreds of incidents with several children.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Yeah. Until?
Really, know that Little League football, even if they are pedophiles, it takes a toll on them that really you can't prepare for. There was a story in the New York Times about 5 years ago, I want to say, about a bunch of guys in North Atlanta who just, they took it up because they thought it would get them laid. Like, they thought they could go to bars and they'd be like, oh, well, what do you do for fun? And like, oh, well, you know, I mentor and coach little kids.
Yeah.
Panties would drop and ovaries would just start working overtime. And instead, it totally ruined their lives because they got obsessed with it and then realized that everyone else was doing what football makes you do, which is watch film at like 11 at night going, okay, listen, it's obvious here that the Best Buy 8-year-old squad likes to run the QB power, right? Like, they all became like film tards.
Not to mention like the horrible parents that I'm sure went along with it.
Oh yeah. Like they had like the whole like where they would just walk and be like, your kid's not playing. Or they'd be like, everybody plays running back 5 times a game, right? And they just, like, pictures of them, like, they were just happy young men before, and then they were, like, bloated, sleepless, unshaven, like,
hobos by the time it ended.
All right, Spencer, do you have Paul Blart? Do you have any Paul Blart Presents ideas for us?
I do. I thought he could do a Mafia in the Northeast directed by Ben Affleck.
Okay.
That was about how hard and gritty this policeman's life was, and he has to go undercover. But he has it'll be a Kevin James feature where Paul Blart, right, like where his character has the double, and it would be called they'd go undercover on either side, and it would be called The Defarted.
Nice.
Well done.
Yours is a little more elaborate than mine, but yeah, The Defarted for sure is something.
Oh, you stole Ben's joke.
Yeah, it's okay.
Now you're my favorite writer.
Yeah. The Defarted was pretty good. The Defarted. As long as Marky Mark can be in it.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
I just wanted to give the chance for like Kevin James to play two roles, right?
Yeah, sort of like Double Impact with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
Very similar.
Exactly. If we can get Kevin James in the Jean-Claude Van Damme buttocks shot where he does the splits. Mm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And then also you can use the old standby of the trailer and going, Kevin James and Kevin James in The Defarted.
You are.
Anything else?
We'll start with that. I've got one boiling, but I have to get the right euphemism in there. So,
all right, I'll give you a couple of mine. One was Raging Butt,
that's not a
Spencer just squealed movie. With delight.
Close enough. Paul Blart's butt is a force of nature, going toe to toe with Sugar Ray Robinson, taking his best shots and farting in his face, saying, "You never wiped me down, Ray. You never wiped me down."
But
the qualities that make Paul Blart's blood a beast in the ring make him a nightmare out of it, destroying his marriage and ruining his relationship with his brother. Did you fart my wife?
I'm just going to go
Did
ahead.
Did you fart my wife?
You can't just make a theme up and then totally go off theme.
What are you talking about? It's close
enough. It's not a gangster movie.
Yeah, whatever. It's got
all right, but you know what? You made up for it with Did You Fart My Wife.
Thank you.
Did you fart my wife?
Right, yeah, I'm
you just, fought
am,
my wife.
I am a little disappointed that you came up with a
you
genre,
my wife?
And then you went into a sports movie.
You fought my wife.
I mean, I guess I had a broader idea of it, which was basically
so
like,
anything with De Niro,
anything with
no,
anything
a red herring. Here, why don't you guys take this delicious red herring? I'm going to write some jokes.
Paul Blart
presents
Analyze This.
Paul, was that off the top of your head?
You have written,
yeah, that's
beautiful.
That was on the top of my head.
That would be.
Well, we're doing anything with De Niro.
That's a good. That's good. I like that.
I mean, as far as gangster themes go, that's right on topic.
I don't know if it fits, too, but I only have a title. We could get Kevin James in Brownface.
Okay.
And have his amazing rise from poverty and the slums of India, from Bombay all the way up to this game show that he wins. And it could be called Bum Dog Millionaire.
Okay, I like it. That scene where in the toilet with you, where he holds up the card, could be pretty much the same as the original.
All of his answers to the game show, he farts.
But the crowd loves him, and he just puts it over
and
the
miraculously, head. It's always the right answer.
Yeah.
It's like that Chris Farley sketch where he stumbles onto the Japanese game show, and he's miraculously right.
But you guys just described real life, right? Where he just farts and everyone thinks it's the right answer.
But it's that's
true.
That's just all of his regular movies.
Every fart's right. A little bit different, though. It's like...
I would laugh at that.
And it's like... Red once again.
It's like Brendan's college fart tape.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, I had another one.
Spencer, we had a karaoke machine in college. My friend took it from his parents' house, and we just put a blank tape in there, and we recorded like 45 minutes of farts.
And they would play it for us, and we'd come down.
Yeah,
they're like, wait, you got to hear the new track.
Yeah, they would drive down to hang out with us, and we would, yeah, we'd play it for them.
I think this is the one that'll break it big. We're going to make it. Yeah. We're going to make it at Nashville.
Yeah.
Fartville, Brett.
All right, my other one.
Asheville.
This one might not be strictly gangstery either, but it's pretty close.
You didn't even do one on topic?
It's called Serpicolon. And the police force is dirty and only one man can clean it out. Serpicolon. with the help of an unshakable idealism and a trough of psyllium fiber, Serpicolum summons forth the mighty wind and blows corruption away. All right, last one. This one is definitely gangster, but it's sort of the other kind of gangster. And it's called Menace Poo Society.
I don't know, we were including John Singleton movies. Oh, that's not John Singleton.
That's a gangster movie? Come on.
All right.
Why didn't you go with Anus Poo Society?
Ooh, that could be too. I don't know. That could be Anus to Society. Oh, Anus to Society is way better.
Yeah.
Damn it. All right. Anus to Society. Paul Blart goes into a liquor store, farting up a storm, when the Korean grocer tells him, "I feel sorry for your mother." This sets Paul Blart off until he eventually farts on the grocer while the grocer begs for his life, while holding his butt sideways. Come on, don't act like you don't remember that. All right, I'm glad I got Brandon.
Wow.
Holding his butt sideways. Oh, God, you get paid to write. What's the matter with you?
Shut up. How did America let this happen?
This is a travesty. Move to Canada.
Don't quite have the plot fleshed out.
We're just spitballing. We don't have the pot fleshed out.
We're just spitballing. All right. How about American cheese gangster?
I think Donnie Asco.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think someone emailed that one too.
We did get some.
I like Donnie Asco because I came up with Donnie Brascolin, but it's kind of like Serpicolin, so I like Donnie Asco.
I mean, to be fair, Vince came up with about 300 that had colon in it, but not all. Only one of them was a gangster movie.
Short Walk Empire.
I think going old school. If you go James Cagney, The Public Enema.
Oh, that's nice.
Nice.
We got some this is from Zach that I did like. It wasn't a whole pitch, but Buffet Enemy Number One, which I liked. Ooh. The characters are Bonnie and Wide Clyde, and then Al Calzone. I really liked Al Calzone.
Yeah.
And then Buffet Enemy Number One, Back for Seconds, is the sequel. And I didn't have one fleshed out either. We got some similar emails. I was thinking something like, you know, New Crap City. We got, you know, new Jack Shitty as well of that works.
How about the Unfuckables?
Or just Ass Cino?
No, I had the Untouchabuts.
Oh. Oh, that's a good one.
What about the Untouchacolons?
And do Get Farter.
Oh, I like that.
Nice, nice.
Well done.
Chris P. sent in a history of flatulence. Paul Blart, a mild-mannered man, becomes a local hero through an act of flatulence, which sets off repercussions that lead him to fucking the shit out of his wife on the stairs.
He should have included his wife's hairy bush, too. Yeah.
I really do think they could do something a little bit more with his... all right, so here comes the boom. You saw it.
I did.
Were there any tap-outs due to rear naked fart?
No, he did... All right, so he did eat some bad applesauce on the way to the fight at one point.
Who eats applesauce?
Well, they set it up pretty well. You know, he's like, I need something to eat. And then all Henry Winkler had to feed him was, he's like, I have some homemade applesauce. So he eats Henry Winkler's homemade applesauce. And then he accidentally knocks out Mayhem Miller with just a, you know, random knockout. And then he pukes on him after the fight, pukes right on his face. Mm. Speaking of which, Spencer.
Yes.
Were you in the office when Mayhem was in there for his weird interview with Ariel Helwani?
No, I was there the day after, and everyone was still terrified.
Because I saw it, and it was just—it didn't seem—it didn't seem like a travesty. It just seemed like Mayhem Miller was trying to do like a an improv character, and it didn't really work. But he stormed off, but it kind of seemed like it was a joke storming off. But then, I guess,
I don't think an MMA fighter pretending to be enraged is distinguishable from an enraged MMA fighter. I don't think that's something that people who haven't been around MMA fighters can necessarily do, because I think it may have started like improv, but he really was throwing things around the studio. And he really did kind of like get up in. Stephen Greenwood is the cameraman who followed him out of there. And I talked to Stephen the next day and I was like, he was kind of like selling that, right? And Stephen's like, it didn't feel like that. Sitting in his face. So I think it may have started like that, but it's probably indistinguishable from real live hostile MMA guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, Mayhem got arrested in a church a few months back for doing weird stuff. And then I had friends that had interacted with him a couple months back around when that was happening. Friends that have, you know, been in psychiatric treatment for like a lot of their lives. And they're like, yeah, I've never seen someone so clearly in the midst of like a manic episode as Mayhem Miller was. So I think it's kind of gone a little nutty.
Yeah, I think that's I don't think it was the sort of thing where they knew what was going on, right? Like, even if he was playing, I don't know if it stayed that way. And I don't know if you would really be able to tell, right? Like, ha-ha, that wild animal sure looks like it's fucking with me. You know what?
Right. Well, speaking of, like, the gangster thing, it's sort of it's similar to Pesci and Goodfellas going, why is he a funny spider? You know, that whole thing. Yeah. When you're like, I don't know if this is a joke or not. It's kind of scary.
By the way, like, two gangster movies that you don't have to change the title for to make them fart gangster epics for Kevin James, The Big Heat. Ooh. And Breathless. You don't have to change the titles for either of those.
Or just Heat, for that matter.
Or just Here Comes the Boom.
We did also get a bunch related to, well, I don't even remember the original title, Angels with
Dirty Faces.
So this was from...
Well, that's famous because that's the one from Home Alone.
Oh.
You keep the change, you filthy animal.
So we got a lot of that. And this is... He just said Tim Mike, so who knows? That's one of our 20,000 Tim Mikes. But he called it...
Army of Tim Mikes.
He called it Angels with Stinky Butts. And I just... I won't read the whole thing, but it's the Fartilli family, which I liked.
Spencer, our internet connections has continued to suck on our end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're gonna have to let you go, but I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, hey, no, my pleasure. Thanks.
Yeah. What? Shut down fullback.
SB Nation, EDSBS, shut down fullback. And that should be it.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen.
We'll try to have you on again when we have like a non-spotty Skype connection.
No. It was no. This was awesome.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. Sorry. I hope that wasn't too bad for people where it was like kind of cutting in and out.
I think they'll survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Oh, well.
You know, sometimes the internet isn't good, and that's when we just need to pray a little harder to the internet gods.
All right. I had
only
another
one. Internet god.
Oh, there's one.
Yeah, just one.
Does he or she have a name?
No.
It's internet god.
Yeah.
All right.
I had another one starring Mickey Rourke called The Poop of Greenwich Village.
Is it a gangster movie?
Close enough.
You really stretched your own genre.
I sure did. I
terrible
sure did.
At this.
Why do you so linearly?
You said gangster movies.
But that's just a jumping off point.
You didn't say it's a jumping off point. You said gangster movies.
Yeah, well, just don't say Rudy, but think of something that's kind of, you know, whatever.
Duty.
Oh, that was a good one. If that had been included.
Then. Yeah.
It's a football player that shit his pants in the first practice. And ever since then, he's got to prove himself.
They were like, you too short to shit your pants. He's like, how you doing, coach? And they were like, spit game, buddy. And then he shit his pants. But he still lost.
He shit his pants right on the quarterback.
All right, we got good smellas. We got fat fellas.
There are a lot of similar variations. Yeah. Most people,
I like the Godfather and the Gasfather. Those are both good. Angels with barbecue wings.
What about food smellas? Like the foods come out of your butt. You smell it.
Not too bad. Not too bad.
I even like this. Isn't quite so. The original movie.
Poop smellas.
Original movie is not gangster, but Feck sent us. I did like Burger King of New York, only because his Paul Blart gets out of the hospital after gastric bypass surgery and takes control of food trucks and hot dog stands, which I thought would be pretty like he's shaking down all the food
for the troughs of cheeseburgers.
Yeah, for his wedding.
What about Pangs of New Pork? So you, it's undercooked like that. Pork chops, good. And then your stomach's letting you know that it's time to poop now. Huh?
Not bad.
As long as when they, I just
spitball.
I just really want some, at least a parody where when they fight, like Gangs of New York style, they come together and they just turn around and they back up into each other and just fart right into each other's face.
Maybe sort of Civil War style where there's like a line of, there's like a line at the front and they fart and then like the other, the next line goes ahead while they reload.
The one behind
volleys of farts.
The one right behind him is just eating a big trough of beans and then it's like fire. And they just, they're really, really close to each other.
Right.
Oh, but then Paul blurts the secret weapon, the Gatling gun. And they stick a crank on the side of him, and they just crank it, and he goes.
And they turn him back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, where each side, it's like, they're farting too hard on us. They're farting too fast. I can't keep up.
Yeah, and he knocks out the whole Confederate army.
The whole regiment.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd watch that movie.
I wish you guys had seen Here Comes a Boom with me, because it was great. It was pretty great.
I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah.
No.
You sure?
I decided a long time ago that I don't need to waste 2 hours every single week seeing a piece of crap.
When did you see it?
Yeah, you need those hours.
I saw it last week, last Tuesday.
Last Tuesday. Oh, man. I've done a lot of stuff since then. Fucked around a lot on the internet, and that was all better stuff than
there's nothing.
2 hours watching.
But the thing about Here Comes the Boom is it's kind of ingenious because they take a movie that looks so bad that only a retarded person would have any interest in seeing it, and then so therefore the
sounds like somebody I know.
Who?
He knows this one retarded guy.
I know this one retarded
guy. Oh, I'm the retarded guy.
He has a blog.
That go see it? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And he liked Here Comes the Boom.
Oh yeah, totally loved it.
Yay,
so it's like a self-selecting group. So you make this just horrible, god awful movie, but you're just so open about how god awful it is that when people actually go see it, they're like, yeah, it was kind of all right.
But I wouldn't
like that's the worst review that movie's ever going to get. It's like, yeah, it's kind of. Yeah.
Did people see it and say
it
that?
It made like $12 million.
But did anyone actually say that?
I haven't read. I mean, almost. You find any user review, none of them are too bad.
So that's just saying they didn't make the worst movie ever.
Well, it's too lazy to be the worst movie ever. There's no.
That's what my mom said to me in mid-high school. You're too lazy to be the worst movie ever. You know what? I showed her. Bitch.
Yeah.
You are the worst.
So hubris, right. Mom.
Like it was barely barely an outline of a Rocky style movie. That
would
like
it have not been better though if he won by rear naked fart at least once?
It would have.
Yeah, that's all I mean.
Like he almost farted. Like there's one moment in
the
I just
got that, the rear naked fart,
just right now.
Yeah, just this moment.
We discussed this
probably
last,
for years.
I made that joke a year ago.
Yeah, it's probably been several.
There was
years.
One moment where Mayhem like. Runs in him, like hits him in the gut with his shoulder really hard, and he makes that like face, like he's gonna fart, you know, the fart face, the movie fart
Whoa.
Face. But and I thought, oh, it's like, oh, thank God.
Wouldn't it have been
fart.
Awesome if he just shits his pants all over the canvas?
Yeah, it would have. But instead, you know, he won, and then he puked on him.
Is that a respected move? Is run at them with your shoulder in MMA? Is that probably
no? My favorite part was the Superman punch because the like every. Person who makes
MMA
movies
angles
just
this show.
Fucking love Superman punch, and like the one with Kristoff, he literally starts at the complete opposite end of the cage and just like runs up and jumps and does
like a
jumping
it's like a Tony
punch.
Jaa
yeah.
moment.
Hey, I have related related opinions.
Do you?
I saw Haywire this weekend.
Okay.
I thought the first half of Haywire was really good.
The fight scene in the hotel room
was
amazing.
Amazingly. Well, my girlfriend didn't like it, thought it was too choreographed. And the escape sequence where she's being hunted had a strange soundtrack that I didn't notice at all until she mentioned it. And it is a very 70s, like, bow, 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 bow. And then the second half of the movie was god-awful. Like,
it
the
was
stuff
just
in her house.
Boring.
And it's, why would – so she shows up. Oh, this is going to be spoilery, but not really. But
no one – it's fucking Haywire.
She shows up on the beach and then runs at him and punches him.
It was that
–
the whole fight scene was
that
retarded.
Guy? And he got his leg stuck in some coral. Why would you expect that he'd drown because of that? The whole thing was just It's like he got bored with making the movie. It wasn't that he got lazy. He just sort of stopped caring.
I think something weird happened in the middle of that thing because he was high on Gina Carano. And then halfway through, he like completely changed her voice, like redubbed her. Like, that's not Gina Carano's voice. It doesn't sound like that.
Honestly, they could have ended at the point where she crashes the car and the cops pick her up and I would have been okay. Like, I don't even need a conclusion in that movie. She punched some dudes. Fassbender died.
There's some weird shit that happened that I don't think they're talking about because it was like they started off making one movie and then they were just like, oh, we don't have enough time. We're just going to throw together this piece of shit fight sequence.
Let's put some B-roll for the conclusion, I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty much seems like what happened. I don't know.
I thought they were going interesting places with it and it didn't.
And it's weird because like you watch C-Tates in Magic Mike, which is the same director, and he's amazing. And then you watch him in Haywire, and he's fucking worse. He was a worse actor than Gina Carano.
She was pretty wooden in the first scene. I was like, oh, is it going to be like this the whole time?
But then she's worse than, like, C-Tates is worse than she is in that first scene.
But the violence in that one was pretty amazing.
True. I also saw Seven Psychopaths.
Said it's not worth seeing, right?
I don't think
I put turn it off when she gets pulled over by the police and they shoot people.
Just imagine your own ending. And the rest of it's like sort of just
choose your own ending.
There's two really good fight sequences and it's fun that he doesn't really keep you involved with why any of it's happening.
I kind
of
would like you guys to see Seven Psychopaths though, because Laramie recommended it and I kind of hated it, to be honest.
There's a pretty close to a 0% chance that I see it.
Really?
Why not?
You didn't like In Bruges? In Bruges was amazing.
I don't even know.
In Bruges was so insanely
fucking
dark.
Awesome.
I just don't know when I would see that. There's World Series. There's
I was hoping for In Bruges. I even like The Guard. You need to see The Guard too. That's by his brother. That one's fucking awesome with the Cheadle and Brendan Gleeson.
The previews make Seven Psychopaths look like absolute garbage.
It kind of
looks like what was that movie with Jeremy Piven that they promoted?
Smoke and Aces.
Yes, it makes it look.
Weird soft spot for Smoke and Aces.
Why am I not surprised?
Okay. Like the part where they make Ben Affleck's body talk.
You shouldn't be surprised because it's Linkin Park in a movie.
That movie sucked.
I didn't mind Smoke and Aces.
It was Linkin Park in a movie. It was like they kept yelling "you" and "you could be your mean stepdad or your ex girlfriend."
But the weird thing about Seven Psychopaths, they make it look like Smoke and Aces. It's more like. It's more like adaptation. It's like a failed adaptation.
I just meant with the trailer. The trailer made it seem like a sort of silly action movie with a lot of different characters. Yeah.
But it's totally like this weird meta take on like screenwriting and that I don't think fucking works at all, to be honest.
I can usually handle a decent amount of meta in my cereal.
So can I. The main difference is like adaptation is a meta take on Charlie Kaufman succeeding in writing a screenplay.
Oh god, is it gonna be Southland Tales?
Seven Psychopaths is like a meta take on a guy who fails at writing the movie you're watching.
So basically. Southland Tales.
I never saw Southland Tales.
You should watch the first 15 minutes, I think, as far as I got through. I mean, so Southland Tales is by the dude Donnie Darko.
Yeah, yeah.
They had Kelly. The Rock and Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Stifler and Justin Timberlake.
And
it looked like
face?
The whole thing
Piling.
Was... Yeah, and Sherry O'Terry from fucking SNL or something.
Weird.
It looked like the whole thing was going to be ironic, right? Where he's writing this post-governmental crackdown Venice Beach style... You know, The Rock's like has amnesia three times or something. And it turned out it might not have been ironic... That he actually wrote that script, or it somehow got hijacked into an actual movie, and it was really hard to watch, even as high as I was.
Yeah. Well, I was really high.
I was excited for it because this one girl that I used to date said that, like, "Oh my god, it's so insightful," and I smoked like a shitload of weed, and it was basically Newsroom but sci-fi.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. I just I don't see myself. I don't go to movies that I don't really want to see anymore.
Well, see, that was one of the ones that I really wanted to see. Like in terms of movies that were coming out in the fall, that was definitely like top three.
There's something coming out at the end of the month that I feel like I'm excited for, but maybe I'm wrong.
Let me look.
Cloud Atlas, Life of Pi.
Oh yeah, maybe Cloud Atlas. I want to see
both of those. Yeah.
This looks like just circle jerks.
I don't know. I don't think Cloud Atlas is going to be that good.
It's the Wachowski starship.
Circle jerks.
They have a circle jerk in the middle?
No, when's the last time they made a good movie?
Masturbatory effects.
The Matrix movies.
For some reason, this morning.
You said that with a weird S at the end. Why'd you put that at the end?
Because I like all three of them.
For some reason, this morning while I was getting ready for work, I was thinking about the Lincoln trailer and just how funny it is. And the more I think
about
it, the
funnier it gets. Does it not seem like a parody?
No, it is a parody of a movie that's totally going to win an Oscar. That's exactly what it is. Like, if you got, yeah, if you got someone to just do a trailer for a movie that's totally going to win the Oscar, that would be it. It's like, I will not stand idly by while this union falls apart.
And wasn't it about mostly taxes rather than him? I mean, wasn't that – would most of his speeches been more about taxes than them preventing
– I mean,
seems
that
a little
doesn't matter.
Glossy in hindsight.
That doesn't matter. You fucking with Spielberg, dog.
There's a few
fucking with Spielberg.
He will put walkie-talkies in Sherman's hands, yeah. By God, as the South burns.
Yeah. At this point, Spielberg really is a parody of himself.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
And
he has been for a while.
Yeah, but even the trailer...
He's making movies for his imagined grandchildren and how perfect they would be and untainted by all the mean things
people say
on the internet.
A huge part of it is the music that is always in every trailer. And it's...
Yeah, John Williams needs to get shot or something.
But it's identical. There's no difference.
Just like just wing him, just so he thinks about it.
Yeah, just so
he
thinks...
Oh my God, I could have died.
No, you got to shoot him in the back of the head. Six Semper Tyrannus! And then jump, and then your spur gets caught on the... curtain, and then you break your leg, and then Dr. Mudd fixes you up, and then gives birth to a euphemism which still pervades to this very day.
Very elaborate.
We got a song of the week this week.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Can we listen to Bullshit again? That song's awesome.
Where's Burnsy? I miss Burnsy.
Real Housewives or something?
No. Her name's Nessa with a G.
G?
Where's the G?
Janessa.
Janessa? This is mixed well.
Did she shoot this at the mall?
I don't know.
With some nice hand lotion.
No, I can't
did
stop
Burnsy
laughing.
Send that to you?
No.
They set the synthesizer to butt and just locked out.
Sent a sideways butt.
No, but she...
Sideways butt.
Sideways butt.
Like, that's how you should shoot every fart.
She
from
keeps
now on.
Singing, yeah. Trying to sing along with the synthesizer melody, but she's not on pitch at all.
Well, and the synth is just overwhelming her. She's like, she's getting drowned in the surf. She's trying to.
Wouldn't you try to drown her in the surf?
She's trying to swim to the surface.
No, I think we got this mix perfect.
You can fix that, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we can fix that in post.
it was produced by Ben. Yeah. It's like, yeah, no, I'll totally edit that.
Anyway, I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah.
It always, one of my favorite scenes of Boogie Nights is where they're, of course, the whole section where they're recording music's amazing, but when Marky Mark's like, do you think the bass is draining on my vocals? And the engineer's like, no. And right behind him, John C. Reilly's aggressively nodding his head.
Yeah.
Let's turn down that bass a little bit. I could picture them. I think we could hear you don't want the voice to be overpowering. Let's turn up the synth.
Did you guys watch the Hulk Hogan sex tape?
I watched what was on Gawker.
Was he young when he was
no,
having
no, no,
sex?
This was
no,
like,
this was like last week.
This is like I was going to say 10 minutes ago. But so he does take his bandana off for sex, though.
He's bald,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I noticed
it's
that.
Like real bald.
Really, the top. Well, and then the rest of his hair
it's
is
like a monk.
The rest of his hair is so straight and silky. But so he takes his bandana off for the sex. And
has he ever been? His under bandana is a Sasquatch, isn't it? They've only seen secondary accounts and plaster of Paris imprints of what his skull looks like, right?
Yes, and I'm not surprised he didn't have an under bandana.
a sex bandana,
a Russian nesting bandana doll.
It's just a swim cap, right? He wears it under his bandana.
Well, and he does, as soon as he's getting ready to go, the first thing that goes on is the bandana.
Even before his underwear?
Well, maybe the underwear first. Maybe it wasn't literally first, but I mean, it was one of the first things that went. It was not last, that's for sure.
Who filmed this? Who thought this was a
good
idea?
So I got the story here. He's suing now.
Yeah, he's suing Bubba and his wife.
The WWE legend, real name Terry Bollea, filed two civil lawsuits today in Tampa, Florida, in connection to the release of his sex tape that leaked to the internet earlier this month and was allegedly done without his knowledge or consent. The first lawsuit is against Heather Klemm, a.k.a. Heather Cole, and her husband, Bubba the Love Sponge Klemm, a.k.a. Todd Klemm, alleging claims of invasion of privacy, public disclosure of private facts, blah, blah, blah. Taping another person without their knowledge. The second lawsuit is against Gawker Media, which posted excerpts of the video on their website and refused to remove them after Hulk's legal counsel sent a cease and desist demand for their removal and destruction. Hulk is seeking a whopping $100 million in monetary damages, plus punitive damages, a temporary restraining order, and a preliminary and permanent injunction to force Gawker Media to remove all content of the video from their websites.
I would love it if this just took a chunk out of Gawker's side, just like a shark.
Here's the thing. I don't think there's no way they posted that without having some sort of legal defense already prepared.
I'm sure they've got great lawyers at this point.
But do you think, I don't know.
Gawker's just such a
It's hard for
fuckery.
Me to imagine that, the whole thing where people are like, oh, they stole the sex tape without my knowledge. You can't fucking just release someone's sex tape without...
My buddy Pat in high school filmed 18 girls just banging the shit out of him.
Did he put it online?
There wasn't an online.
So this is just a story.
It's probably out there now.
So does he work for Gawker?
Probably. Gawker's full of
where are you going?
Here's the thing. Kim Kardashian and Pamela Anderson, all these people that have sex tapes, they made a deal to share in the profits. It wasn't like some dude was just releasing their sex tape on the sly. There's no way that you can't release that without...
I think you're confused. You can sue the original source, but if the original source doesn't have any money, you're kind of out of luck. You can't sue everyone that's hit it as a second or third tier source.
Well, the...
Gawker didn't...
I've already watched it anyways. I've already watched it. I'm good.
Well, Ben's covered.
But I'm
so
just saying,
all legal disputes are settled.
Gawker,
Ben's seen it. It's over.
Gawker had to go to their legal counsel, and they have. I'm sure they have some explanation to post.
I mean, a network with that size and that many viewers and that much money going around advertising has to have a fucking.
Don't know where the source is, right? I mean, it could be his supposed friend.
That's
Bubba the Love Dude.
Well, yeah, that's what they're saying.
Well, that's why he's suing both of them. So,
yeah,
or he's making a show of suing both of them.
I don't think he might not have released it, but Gawker's not really going to take a hit on this. They're the secondary source; they got it off of wherever the fuck they got it.
Yeah,
they didn't steal it.
They might get the injunction granted. That seems reasonable.
Brett, we've already went over this. We've all seen it.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't want everyone to see.
Also,
it.
I will
file an injunction to prevent you from ever surprising me and making me watch that. Hey, I got a funny gif of a cat jumping out of a balloon and breaking the speed of sound. I would watch that, and I would be interested in having to show that to me.
That was a good gif.
And then I would click, and then I would see Hulk Hogan.
Because Hulk Hogan's going, oh, fuck.
That's true. That does go down.
Oh, yeah, brother.
How did he take his tank top off?
Oh, wait, that's Macho Man Randy Savage, isn't it?
They're sort of similar.
They both did a lot of brothers.
Hulkster has a lot of brother in his talk. I followed him for about 5 seconds on Twitter, But he's the type of guy that retweets 10 trillion people.
Everyone that says anything nice about him.
And but he does sign every tweet HH. Nice.
Wouldn't it be sad if he took his tank top off very gently and folded it and put it into the drawer?
and then put his bandana right on top?
You've ruined everything I ever
Or he
knew.
Takes his bandana off and it's the ultimate warrior.
Ooh. Takes his bandana off, leaves his rosary on. And but yeah, I was legitimately surprised that the bandana came off, though.
Yeah.
Because that is a shiny top of his head.
Oh, I told, I have my friends that are balding that I saw over the weekend. And I was like, dude, what you got to do is you got to start cultivating a look now before you go completely bald. Because, you know, you got Hulk Hogan, Bret Michaels. I'm sure Bret Michaels is completely bald.
That's the rumor.
Look is just rock that bandana
all
the time.
You think the long hair is just glued to the bandana?
It could be.
Oh, how sad would that be where he has to go to the craft store like Michaels and pick up a hot glue gun? They say, hey, making some little bedazzles? And he goes, no, I'm gluing
Brett's coming
some
in
hair.
Again. Brett's coming in again. Get the extensions.
Supposedly he is.
This is for my dolls. Shut up.
Supposedly he's not rocking a full head of hair. Not very shocking.
I'm surprised by that.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Hogan's probably got a good dome. He should just shave that shit off, man.
Well, Hogan was just weird because he's.
You just can't let go. You got to let go.
No, seriously, you can't let go. And the hair, when you see how bald he is on top, the hair looks even longer because you don't see the bandana. So the hair's like legitimately long and flowing and so weirdly straight and shimmery.
Thin.
Yeah, so.
It's like baby hair.
It really is. It's like, yeah,
why would you watch that man fuck?
Because it's online, Brett.
Because it was there.
Why would you watch that man
so,
fuck?
All right, so Bubba, all right, first of all, Heather, what's her face, is like.
I don't want to talk about
she
this.
Said, she said she felt bad because a wrestler is cheesy.
Who's she?
Despite the fact that she was married to a DJ named Bubba the Love Sponge.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, this dude was supposedly Hulk's best friend, and he filmed him.
For all you kids on the internet, DJs are the bloggers from 25 years ago.
Yeah, this is true. And I kind of have a theory that that's kind of how all people that watch wrestling are, because I feel like wrestling's like this weird homoerotic thing where you just like to watch dudes in spandex like wrestle each other. And it's, so,
and he was
clearly filming this dude like fucking his. Wife or ex-wife or whatever. I feel like that's the subtext.
Is this a handheld camera or something?
No.
It was set up in the
room. It looks like a security cam.
It's like a real world camera.
Yes. Yeah. It's not high quality.
I can't even jerk off to that. I'm sorry, guys. That's just not how I do it.
You can't jerk off to Hulk Hogan boning?
No.
Oh.
I can't jerk off to...
this guy's a fag.
I can't jerk off to cameras that aren't handheld. I need to imagine a third person there in order to reach ejaculation.
Do you picture yourself as a third person?
Oh, I don't picture myself. It's fully abstract. I'm actually the room. And everyone's fucking inside of me. I had a hard time getting that one out. that tickled my dick bone. That joke tickled my dick bone real good. I had a hard time spitting it out.
God. Yeah, you fucker inside me.
Oh! God, I'm a hotel, and all the paintings are weird. Ugh, you feel uncomfortable here because maybe there's bed bugs, and you don't know where your clothes are at.
Oh, come on my dirty sheets. Oh, I'm going to get you dirty. I'm going to
come on my complimentary HBO.
Oh, yeah, drink from my mini bar. Yeah. And then, yeah.
Steal my towels.
Hey, you need those towels, don't you? Fucking. Gross.
You're dirty and wet.
I wanted to ask Spencer, did you guys watch the last 30 by 34? 30, why do I always say
30 by 30? You always go 30 by 30.
You just want to build a shed so bad.
I know, I do.
It's like 30 by 30 by 7.
There's
two,
another one tonight.
I'm two behind, so I didn't watch the Ben Johnson one.
979 was pretty legit.
I didn't watch 979. I watched Broke, though. Broke was sweet.
It was okay. I liked the concept more than the execution.
Broke was a little repetitive.
Yeah. It felt like it could have been just an hour on like the Discovery Channel or something.
I would have just liked to watch a whole show on Andre Rison. Yes.
I liked it. The only thing was, everyone they interviewed was not necessarily broke, and they didn't they didn't always – I felt like I knew a lot of the backstories of those guys, and I knew who was actually broke, and then other guys I was like, they are not broke.
Yeah.
So it would have been a little more interesting if they had given some background on who actually had blown through all their money and who hadn't. But I still thought it was great. I loved it.
I like the Dykstra story. I think they should have gone further with the Dykstra story.
I am so fascinated. That guy – so his real, his real sports thing was awesome.
Yeah. Like he thought he was a financial advisor, and then they're like, no.
Turns out he was just fucking throwing darts at a dartboard.
Yeah, like everybody else.
And idiots were paying for his financial advice. He's fucking nails. He's Lenny Dykstra.
Dude, he's even knows the financial industry.
You see the fucking Centerfield wall? That's how we pick stocks, man.
And just turns out he was a psychopath.
Yeah, he's completely insane.
Yeah.
But although I don't doubt that he was not much off the norm of whatever other financial advisor you might have been hiring at that time.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah.
He wasn't even really a financial advisor. He was more of the you pay him and then he gives you it was more of like the guy that you give money to before you go into a racetrack.
Uh-huh.
And he gives you his picks for the day.
Okay. Like he was a handicapper.
Yeah, basically.
But remember like in 2004, 2005, like every fucking idiot that we knew was like some sort of mortgage broker or something.
We knew a lot of idiots.
Like pretty much everybody we went to college with was like a fucking mortgage broker in 2005 or 2006. And they were making, they're like, dude, you should do this. I'm making so much money.
They were always really eager to pitch you on it.
Yeah.
It might have been just a masturbatory thing. Just, hey, bro, you got to be making as much money as I make. But they were all very keen to put you in their shoes.
Yeah, but I also think that – so there was a period of time where I think, yeah, you could sort of pick any stock and you're going to be fine. But even today, if you look at some of the press that happens, or like supposedly mainstream – financial, you know, columnists or analysts, there's no situation where it would benefit them to give you a good like insight, you know, because like if they tell a wide audience that you should buy a stock, then it's going to drive up the price of the stock. So there's such an inherent conflict of interest. But also, even if you just read some of this shit, it will talk about pretty well-known companies that, you know, it's like, well, Google faces a lot of competition from Yahoo and Bing. And it's like, shut the fuck up.
The Niners face competition from the Seahawks and other teams.
Yeah.
Seahawks are no joke this year, seriously.
I keep wondering, like, I see Bing commercials.
Don't look at me like that. They're a scary team now.
You see Bing commercials everywhere, and you're like, who the fuck? Nobody uses Bing.
Well, but they have dubstep, Vince.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard dubstep? It makes you
just might feel like something to the. I don't know. It's on all of the streaming.
Internet Explorer,
shit.
Right?
You just say, it's Internet Explorer.
It's awful. It's the worst kind of commercial. They had some dude that told them that dubstep was cool, and Microsoft's like, well, shit, we don't know what's cool.
There's a lot of dubstep in commercials.
I'd rather hear "Feels Like I'm Just Too Close to Love You" a million times before I would hear.
You remember? You
fucking
knew what I was singing.
Well, yeah, because on every single football commercial.
Yeah, every
that
other
and
one.
Fucking Moves Like Jagger, which I am going to stab somebody in the goddamn face.
Adam Levine should be taken out behind a building and shot.
Yes,
there I said.
I only get the stolen streaming stuff, so it's all just the Internet Explorer one.
Oh,
you know they're down 20% market share. Good riddance.
Sorry, who took the fucked out dance like fucking Mick Jagger thing first? Was it Adam Levine or Kesha?
Keisha.
Was it her first?
Yeah.
God. How are they all on the same fucking wavelength that way?
Because they...
Mick Jagger didn't even really dance. He did that spazzy chicken dance, and then he'd do the clapping in front of him, and then he'd do the finger, basically the exaggerated... I call it the exaggerated Mutombo. He'd do the finger wag, but yeah. Bishop,
right. Don't look at this.
I do like the chicken dance is good, though.
Bishop, yeah. You can't look at this.
The back.
God, you guys, hey, if there's any reason to come to Chicago, it is to watch Brendan and Vince jagger off. Because Vince's is chicken based and Brendan's a lot of hand waving.
Really, we need to have a jagger off.
It's spectacular.
I'm a pretty good jagger. All right, here's the thing. I give Adam Levine a little more credit because at least his song was talking about moving like Jagger.
Brendan is so sassy. He's such a sassy bitch.
I'm a jaunty jagger.
Oh, we could start a line of dolls.
Jaunty Jaggers?
Jaunty Jagger.
Dress up your Jaunty Jagger.
Oh, this
make him with wagging finger, with wagging kung fu finger and chicken dancing
now
arms.
Chicken dance.
But at least Adam
seriously,
Levine.
Is he like 4,000 years old now?
He's pretty old. I mean, he's old as our dad.
He's a sexy crypt keeper.
Older than our dads.
He's held
much
up well.
Older than our dads.
All right, so at least Adam Levine, the song is about moving like Jagger, which is at least sort of makes sense. The fucking Kesha song is like, we'll kick them to the curb unless they look like Mick Jagger. It's like they don't look like the fucking Crypt Keeper?
She only fucks old guys. Yeah, what's wrong with you, bro?
Right, Kesha only fucks her grandpa and wears her dead uterus around her neck. Facts.
All right. Fair enough.
Why are you hating on her for fucking old dudes?
That's a weird
dude. When you're 75, you're going to want to fuck 20-year-olds too.
That's true.
Wait, no. She's 20.
Yeah?
It doesn't.
Vince will be 75.
Yeah, well, it doesn't work both ways.
I gotta find me a girl with a dollar sign in her name. Ching ching.
They're all gonna have dollar signs in their name when you're 75. That's just how shit's going. Yeah. It's all ones for I's and zeros for O's.
Yeah, and all the boys are gonna be Braden, Aiden, Dayden, and Sladen.
They're just all gonna
Jackson.
Be modem sounds. Ironically, <Be-do-do>.
Also.
What's your name?
This is my sister, Ina.
This is my brother.
Ina.
You've got mail.
Oh, it's so funny, bro.
Dude, remember that?
I'm going to fuck you. You're such a Jaunty Jagger.
I want to find out. You know how there's those weird urban legends that you don't know the origin to? Because over the weekend, we were talking about dumb names. And I was at a wedding, so there's like some people in the conversation I didn't know that well. And someone repeated the Ladasha story, you know, the story about the girl in class whose name is L and then a hyphen and then A, and then
right.
She says it's pronounced Ladasha. Where did that fucking story come
Dude,
from?
You
it's
live
like
on
the
internet,
Richard,
man.
It's like the Richard Gere story.
Yeah.
That shit is pervasive as hell and
Drew
no one knows
did
where it
a
came
column
from.
On baby names because I think he said that Drew McGarry on Deadspin, he said that
Brendan's second favorite writer.
Yeah, he said he went into the shitter and there was only a parents magazine in there, so he's reading the popular baby names, and he had some tangent where he talked about anytime he complains about baby names, someone will send him the Ladasha story.
Yeah,
and he says he's gotten it from enough people that swear it happened to them.
Oh no, the person that over the weekend was like, "This happened to my friend." It wasn't like. I heard this, you know, it was very clearly sourced to someone, like a direct...
Work your internet sources.
I'm sure that shit's got to be on Snopes.
Well...
You want me to look it up?
No.
While we
no.
wait?
Really no. boring yeah. when you do stuff on the
yeah.
internet.
Yeah, let's just all dick around.
Also, I don't think your browser can handle any more tabs. You have a lot of tabs.
And
for someone who spends all day on the internet, it's weird that you have no idea how to use a browser or how the internet works.
Everybody that does what I do has a million tabs. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, do you guys have little conferences at Blogosphere? Blogosphere 2012?
Hey, Brett, how many tabs do you have right now?
Oh, like 30 tabs.
Me too.
I had to get a guy to program Netscape to like open up 100 more tabs. Oh, you don't use Netscape? That's cool. It's coming back around.
It's the coolest. Well, Vince looks this up. I think we should.
It's got a lot of words on it.
I don't know if.
The email began circulating on the internet in early 2008.
I'm bored already.
While the unusually named child is almost always said to attend, quote, a school in Livingston Parish, Louisiana, we encountered one stray version that stated this child attends a school in Richland County, Georgia, and Detroit.
So don't put everyone to sleep. You know, Vince, do some research, all right? Be the magical internet wonder that you are. And let's get back to people on that.
Why should I do that?
Because this is boring.
Yeah, this isn't turning out
really
so well.
Really boring.
Tell me yes or no.
No.
That usually is
undetermined.
That usually means no.
Damn it.
I think I think it's time to put this broadcast to sleep.
Let's do it. Let's put it to sleep like Paul Blart.
Yeah.
put some to sleep.
So everyone,
thanks
again for backing the Kickstarter project. We can't wait for Chicago. It's less than 3 weeks away, guys.
Who's that sponsored by?
Oh, Brett, thank you so much.
Jesus Christ, Ben.
Cheese and rice is what I prefer.
$500.
To not put our Lord's name in vain.
Your Lord's.
My Lord's. The live broadcast in Chicago brought to you by Tall Tale Productions. We'll see you there. Brendan, wake up and take us on out of here.
All right. Thank you, Spencer Hall, for coming on. I like you so much, Raven Vince. Oh, Vince is getting crazy with the prod board. Frogcast@gmail.com. Until next week, good night and good chins.